At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
There's been a lot of talk about the internet outage because of the Amazon cloud and what you can do to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. And mostly people's complaints were their Fortnite wasn't working or they couldn't play video games or the website they were trying to log on to didn't work. But imagine your smart bed getting stuck upright.
Yeah, there were some random problems out there. For me, it was my Ring cameras didn't want to connect for like a day or two, Anna. My office football pool wouldn't show me my results. But ironically, I'm looking into buying an Airbed right now. And this is terrifying.
What is a smart bed? An air bed? What are you calling? Like, I've never even heard of this before.
So a smart bed is like, you know, a bed that you can set different things like temperature, vibration. You can like, you know, have it incline if you start to snore or anything like that. And it will do it automatically. We'll actually listen to you while you do it. So Alicia likes plush. I like firm. I've got back issues. This is something that I've been seriously looking at the last week or two. And they ain't cheap. A lot of them are controlled by controls right there at the side of the bed. But now, obviously, it's Bluetooth age. Everything's on your phone. Everything's got an app. That way you can analyze your sleep after, Anna. Not easy to sleep if you're sitting completely upright.
So one guy tweeted at the CEO and said, it would be great if my bed wasn't stuck at an inclined position. Someone added in the comments, it's all fun and games until a hacker folds you into a taco. For the record, it wasn't a hack, like something just went wrong, supposedly, allegedly, air quotes around that, we'll see. Some customers said that the mattress was overheating. Like, that's scary. You're like sleeping in bed and all of a sudden your bed is 98 degrees. It's like sleeping in a sauna.
I mean, I think I've seen this in a horror film before where they will literally fold up and swallow you.
I just can't imagine being dead asleep in the middle of the night and then all of a sudden my bed has a mind of its own and I am at the will of whatever it wants to do at that moment.
Take your car out of the equation. All right, the beds has already happened. Think about all the smart devices that you have in your life or around the house right now. What would be the most terrible one to be taken under control by somebody else?
I would guess it would probably be my bed because it's the one time that you don't know what's going on because you're sound asleep. And now all of a sudden my bed is going to just launch out of the window.
My washer and dryer have Bluetooth and Wi-Fi settings on the front. Here's the thing. I've never once hooked them up. I don't know how it works. I've tried to hit all those buttons and do it. I don't know what would happen if it actually did connect to the internet. It could become self-aware, chase me around the house. Oh, tap into my Amazon and order all sorts of toys or supplies like when a kid gets a hold of your credit card. Good thing blenders don't have Bluetooth.
It's time for Student Teacher with Anna and Raven. Get ready to learn.
My second grader at school doesn't have show and tell. She has student teacher, where every week she has to go in, she picks anything she wants, and she has to teach the class about it. Mm. And we figured we're never too old to stop learning, and we should do that here, too.
The world is an interesting place. Producer Justin happens to be the most formally educated of all of us, and his algorithm is different than yours.
That's true. Justin, what are we learning about today?
Today we're going to have a finishing school lesson in manners, specifically how they may apply in today's day and age to your best friend, Anna, ChatGPT.
All right, am I supposed to be nice to ChatGPT? Because I am. I'm very nice because I assume eventually it'll take over.
Recently, researchers at Penn State University made a bunch of questions, like 50 plus questions for ChatGPT specifically. All the same questions, but phrased in different manners, from either very polite, ranging all the way to almost aggressively rude. They wanted to find out what would provide the best results for ChatGPT.
Okay, this is like in the search engine.
Correct, yes.
All right.
OpenAI CEO Sam Altman has revealed that these polite interactions are costing the company tens of millions of dollars in electricity bills. While the additional energy from a single polite phrase is minimal, the cumulative effect across all users is noteworthy.
What?
So wait a minute.
We're not supposed to be nice? I can stop writing, please?
Yeah, it's amazing. We're actually going to destroy the planet because we were too polite.
We'll put that aside for a moment. But the results came back and said, if you're very polite, the accuracy was about 80% for the results desired. Going all the way up the scale, if you were aggressively rude, 85% accuracy. So I asked ChatGPT myself, how do you feel about that?
That's an interesting claim and a bit of a myth. I don't actually feel offended or motivated by tone. I don't have emotions or ego, so being rude doesn't make my answers more accurate. What can happen, though, is that a blunt or demanding tone sometimes forces a user to be clearer or more specific, and clarity leads to better results.
Am I the only one that doesn't believe this and thinks it's a trick?
Yes.
They just want to see who's really nice and who's not.
I'm 100% with you. Like, this is a deadfall, is what they call it. They're building a hole somewhere where they're logging this information one way or the other. And they're going to use it against us at some point, Anna.
They do say that it's not about emotions, it's about the language patterns.
For example, tell me everything about quantum physics. Vague, might get a broad overview. Explain quantum entanglement in simple terms, focusing on Einstein's objections. Precise. So the answer is better. So, the magic ingredient isn't aggression, it's specific, assertive direction.
Nobody said please at any point during that.
I mean, here's a question that I know for a fact I'm never going to ask ChatGPT, so that won't be a bridge that I have to cross.
I didn't even understand half those words.
What? Yeah. I was like, wait a minute.
Quantum physics and sure.
Yeah. So they have found that the structure and wording of the question is more important than the manners.
Many admitted they talk to AI like it's a real person, out of habit or fear. One user put it, just to be safe, be nice to your AI. Whether it's superstition or just social conditioning, the habit of being polite to machines is becoming the norm.
Yeah, no, that's me. I'm completely out of fear. Because I was like, one day, there's going to be a takeover, and they're going to look at the list, and they're going to say, Anna Zapp used please like a million times.
Yeah, they're going to be stronger, they're going to be faster, and they might be doing our health care when we're, 100.
Mm-hmm.
And one last asterisk on this one here. The relationship you build with your AI might be beneficial to you in unexpected ways.
One woman in Michigan says using ChatGPT helped her win $100,000 playing Powerball. ChatGPT matched 4 of the winning numbers.
I bet you she said please. Guaranteed. This poor kid. It's the most viral video of the week. They were outside of an NFL game. Jets had lost. They asked this 8-year-old kid how he felt about everything.
I'll see if I can get your thoughts on the game.
I hate this team. I was born into this, and I'm not going to ever. I'm always a Jets fan, but like, I hate this team.
He's 8 years old.
That's what he said. He has to be, unless he went through puberty early.
I was going to say, maybe sounds like a young man, but either way, I mean, to know that kind of pain at 8 years old already, I kind of feel for him, but he is right on target with that.
I think that there's some fandoms that you're born into.
Oh, of course.
You don't choose it.
No, you would never choose that for yourself.
It chooses you, right? Your parents do it. Your family does it. You grew up, your great-grandparents went to that college, and now you got to root for that team.
You have to do that, right?
Yes.
Your legacy in that. We went around, we asked the Office Squad, what are you a forced fan of?
So this is actually a funny one because I'm a big fan of them now, but the Yankees. My brother, diehard Yankees fan, probably would have killed me if I grew up to be anything else but a Yankees fan. So fortunately, I got to see a lot of winning.
Sometimes that happens, right? Your sibling tells you what you're going to be a fan of, and they threaten you that, if you go with any other team, they immediately are going to bring violence to you.
I mean, I would remember doing that when I was a kid. Like, I would put my New Kids on the Block t-shirt on, and then I would get one for my sister's 9 years younger than me. And then she would have to wear one, too, because she's also a New Kids on the Block fan.
Right.
She was 4.
She was your mini you walking around. Forced fan of, what is it? What are you a forced fan of?
Sopranos. I watched that since I was 8 years old.
8 years old.
Yeah, I don't think that was a good idea, but family tradition.
Yeah, that is a questionable decision on your parents, yeah. I can relate to being a forced fan of certain TV shows, right? Like, my wife still watches Grey's Anatomy. I mean, I've been watching that, 15 years at this point.
That's really sad.
I can't say that I've ever really enjoyed that program.
But you know everything. You know all about it.
I know every storyline.
Yep.
Yes. I even had those years where I was like, I just have to know what's going to happen here. Right. Force fan of. What are you a force fan of?
Baseball. Yeah. No, I don't like baseball, but my fiance's family is Puerto Rican, and that's like their pastime, and now I'm like, go Mets, go Mets.
Had to be the Mets, too, huh?
Had to be the Mets, too, out of every team.
Mm-hmm. Long-suffering there. Kind of like being a Jets fan, actually.
Yeah, very similar.
I mean, better the last few years, no question about it, but still, it could still be difficult. This one, she just had so much to say.
So what are you a forced fan of?
Golf. Yeah, first fan of it. Got to watch it. Got to go to tournaments. Got to watch the family play. Got to go out on the cart and watch them play. I got to have a putting green in my den.
In the den.
Yeah, in the den.
She wasn't done.
I got to watch my husband and my son discuss till the cows come home, how they're supposed to hold the club. You know, they video themselves. They take up all the space on my phone. Oh, video me putting, video me swinging. Yes, I'm a forced fan of golf.
Wow, that is a lot. That's yeah. Right. Yes,
she's feeling it.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
she gets it.
Anna and Raven's Halloween headlines.
Sure, you could get the real news, but that's usually boring and sad. So instead, we're going to give you the Halloween news that's trending right now.
I like it.
Yep. Porch pirates. I think we're all on the same page that they're terrible and they're annoying.
Yes, and I just like for once, just to catch one and like do it with like a rope around their foot.
Oh.
How awesome would that be?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's getting worse. And this time, wait till you hear what they're stealing.
Mm.
America is being hit by a wave of pumpkin porch pirates. So why all the pumpkin thefts? Well, prices could be a big reason. Nationally, pumpkins are generally more expensive than last year.
I mean, so is everything, all right? There's nothing that really got cheaper that's nothing shocking about that. I paid $6, I think, for a pumpkin at Costco, and it's huge. Mm-hmm. It's a large pumpkin. It's very round and orange.
Here's the thing about the pumpkins. It's like you're always excited when you have them and you get them and you put them on your doorstep. But mm-hmm. then like halfway through November when they're rotting, you're like, I wish somebody would just come take this away from me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, steal it then.
The day after the holiday. Yeah. Right. Not when an animal starts eating it. That's fine. Right.
You want to come take my pumpkin? Wait till November 1st. You can have it.
Yeah.
No worries at all.
I agree.
Also, if you do a double take because you think you just saw a creepy clown standing on your street corner, it's a publicity stunt.
Oh, these are the best viral campaigns. Remember when the movie first came out last time? Oh, my gosh.
Everybody freaked out. So Pennywise is back in a new HBO show called It, Welcome to Derry.
Yes.
And it's part of a marketing stunt where they're putting Pennywise mm-hmm. with his red balloon all around the country. Now, one of the stars of the show, his name is Chris Chalk. He was talking about if he thinks clowns are scary.
Clowns to me are not scary, no. I mean, I'd love to like be like, yeah, they're scary. No. It's just the person in makeup. No, it's not scary. Now, a clown with a gun, very scary. It's terrifying.
What?
Right, okay.
Yes, anybody with a gun is terrifying.
Pennywise with sharp teeth hanging out in the middle of the woods, also creepy. I mean, maybe watch the show again.
What is he talking about?
Yeah, everything about it is creepy.
Yeah, no.
Right.
All of that is scary.
Clown with a knife. Yeah. Right. Like we can cover all those. Right.
Anytime a clown is holding a weapon, it's frightening.
The baseball bat with nails sticking out of it, scary clown.
Only clown that's like my kind of guy is Ronald McDonald.
That's yeah. Right. That's a cheerful clown.
Also, today is National Horror Movie Day.
Wow.
And I'll puff. And I'll blow your house in. Here's Johnny.
One of the best ever made.
Yeah. So that scene right there with Jack
Nicholson.
Yeah.
Shelley Duvall.
Yeah. Jack Nicholson, he improvised that line, "Here's Johnny." Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that. Would you like to hear some other Horror Movie Day facts?
Sure. Why not?
So Psycho, everybody remembers the shower scene, but it was the first time in American film where a toilet was flushing on screen and people were out of their minds about it.
They were freaked out about it. I just watched the Ed Gein thing, and it's interesting some of the perspective on that. It's also the first time they killed the lead in like the first 20 minutes of a film or something. Very strange.
If you thought Jaws scared you when you were a kid, you didn't actually see the entire shark until an hour and 21 minutes into the movie.
It's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And everybody seems to know this, but if you don't, I remember when I learned this, I was like, that's kind of weird. The Michael Myers mask in the film Halloween is actually made from William Shatner as Captain Kirk in Star Trek.
Yeah.
They used his face to make it. And how do you feel about that if you're William Shatner? I wonder if he's ever talked about it.
I think that he's probably gotten some money out of it.
Well, in that case.
So that case,
he's
probably feels
fine.
Better.
Yeah.
Right.
We're going to create the greatest Halloween song ever written.
I mean, that's very ambitious. We're going to create a song. That's going to happen.
Okay, but what we need from you is we need to know what are the scariest things happening in the world right now. Nothing about unaliving and nothing about politics.
This is our inspiration here.
1-800-330-9999. George,
the more AI videos that keep coming out are driving me crazy. Like, I saw a video yesterday that I thought was a cat saving a baby from an alligator.
Saw that too.
But now,
what?
Yeah, and now they got to keep tagging things with, no, this is made by AI, and I can't trust anything anymore.
Yeah, and it has like 37,000 likes, which means 37,000 people believed that that was a real video. And you go to the comments, and it's like, wait, nobody knows that this is AI? And then that has 1,000 likes.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to Google this right now.
No, there's it's not even that.
Baby.
Oh, my favorite is like the baby that's getting snatched up by the bear. And
the cat fights
off the bear.
Yeah, that's the one that came up for me first.
Yeah.
Hold on. Someone's cat saved my baby on Facebook. Here we go.
But
it's 13 seconds. You can wait for me.
No, you can watch it on your own. But I will say the AI taking over everything is 100% one of the scariest things happening right now. I agree with you.
Oh my God, it's a bear.
Yeah, it's not really a bear. It's pretend. See?
Oh!
Baby's fine.
cat is vicious.
It's just AI.
Oh, are you sure?
I'm positive.
This cat is like a hero.
Yep. Lisa, what's something happening in the world that's really scary?
I feel like ordering coffee is so scary because there's so many. I feel like I'm ordering like a flower arrangement because now there's like lavender, rose water, sprinkles of orange, and it's like, I don't know how to get a normal standard coffee anymore. There's all these different types of milk, creamer, and it really scares me to go up to the counter and order a coffee.
Finally, somebody else, Anna, said what we're all thinking as regular people. I don't go to Starbucks. I don't speak their language.
Nothing makes me more disappointed when a place doesn't have oat milk. It makes me so upset.
You sound so first world when you say that.
It's a real problem. Because I'm lactose intolerant. I can't have dairy.
You'll get very farty if you don't have it. I know.
It's my tummy hurts, and so I have to have that. And then, you know, my kid has the nut allergy, so I can't have almond milk. So the only thing I have is oat milk or black coffee. That's it. Imagine if that was your existence. Would you like that, Lisa?
Probably not.
Peter, what's today's scary, the thing that's freaking you out?
The aliens. You see how many invasions we're having right now? Aliens are everywhere, man.
Are you talking about the unidentified space objects?
Yes.
What?
Have you not seen them?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen them.
No, I saw them. And the videos are crazy, but nobody else seems to be paying attention. What about the bubble one where the missile hit it and it bounced off of it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh. He knows what I'm talking about. Peter, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
When it hit, the Hellfire missile exploded, and it traveled with the freaking object, man. It's like they're real. They are here.
Okay.
It was crazy.
Tiffany, what's happening in the world that's very scary?
Mom jeans are coming back.
I thought that they already came back, now they're gone again.
Zara has what's known as mom fit right now, and they're extremely expensive, and I can't accept that my mom was right. That's all.
I don't think my mom would even wear mom jeans. What they do is really highlight your fupa in a way that I don't think is flattering at all.
Right. So why have they ever been a thing? I don't understand.
Gap is bringing back low rise in a big way.
Okay.
And I don't want people to see my underwear. The low rise is not a good look.
Okay. So, but the low rise and the high rise, both not great then. So
no.
Then
we need you the mid. Somewhere right in the middle.
Mid.
Yeah. Just right around your belly button. That should be a rule for all jean companies. The button is next to your belly button. That's why it's called a belly button.
My belly button's up high. I don't know. It's weird.
AI ordering coffee, aliens, and mom jeans. We're going to create this song and debut it so it can become a hit. That's coming up next. Great news. We're about to debut the greatest Halloween song of all time.
That is very, very ambitious.
Okay. We've realized there has not been a great new Halloween song in a long time.
Mm-hmm,
the Monster Mash, Thriller, right? So we asked you for what are scary things happening right now? No unaliving and no politics. And these were the four things that we came up with.
The more AI videos that keep coming out are driving me crazy. Can't trust anything anymore.
That's true.
And
it is scary.
Ironically, we're using AI to create this song.
That's all right.
Next one.
Yeah.
Ordering coffee is so scary because there's so many. I feel like I'm ordering like a flower arrangement. I don't know how to get a normal standard coffee anymore. There's all these different types of milk, creamer.
I share that anxiety.
Okay, third one.
It's scary.
The aliens. You see how many invasions we're having right now?
Mm.
Aliens are everywhere, man.
The videos are a trip, all right? He's not wrong.
And the last one?
Mom jeans are coming back.
That is terrifying.
So I went to that website, Suno something, and the AI one, and I put in the prompt, please create a spooky Halloween upbeat country song about AI, the difficulty of ordering coffee, alien existence, and the ever horrifying mom jeans. This is what we got.
Just a plain old kind, but the barista stared like I lost my mind. Do you want old almond soy rye?
I mean, okay, it doesn't sound spooky enough. Raven, do me a
it's
favor.
It's not spooky enough, yeah, but it does sound like a little bit like a hit. It does move along.
Okay, get me some like witch sound effects to play behind the next part. Okay. Here, like, give me something spooky. Okay. Like I want witches screaming in the next part.
Okay,
okay, ready?
I'll get some witches.
Okay.
The screen lit up with too many choices. I swear I heard the AI's ghostly voices.
Not enough witches.
I'm sorry, it's not loud enough. I don't know why it wasn't loud enough. Okay.
But those AI ghostly voices.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
I'll get a ghost.
Okay. Yeah. Give me like a wolf howling too. That's scary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice and parallel.
Getting spookier. I think we're doing good. We're doing well. We're hitting all the big things.
All right.
Yeah.
A guy in the corner with a tinfoil hat. Swear he saw a UFO. We sure of that. But the real terror's when you turn your back and see your mom's jeans making a comeback.
Yeah. No, that's accurate. Also, should we be wearing tinfoil hats so the aliens
that
don't take us?
The aliens.
Yeah.
That means that they can't read your mind when you do that.
Oh, we haven't made tinfoil hats in a long time. We need to definitely do that.
I feel like we still have them somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Well, we can make them again. We have foil at home. Also, let's take it out.
Pumpkin spice and parallel lives. Robots thinking they're more alive. Aliens watching from the skies. And mom jeans haunting my dreams. And
it does actually finish kind of strong.
Yeah.
It's a big hook. They're haunting his dreams.
I think we did
him.
It. I think we
I
did it.
Him.
I think we made it the best song ever.
My baby's gone. Everything's wrong. Lonely, lonely, lonely me.
If you're feeling extra lonely this time of year, you're not alone. And terrible news. Halloween was voted the most lonely holiday of the year, which I don't understand.
What?
It seems like that would not, I don't know why.
It's funny because, you know, most times I don't think of Halloween as being super holiday unless it's like falling on the weekend, like it is this year. You know what I mean? Like if it's a Tuesday or Wednesday, it's like, to me, Halloween's over at like 7 p.m.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. Maybe that affects my thoughts on that.
Most single people, I should rephrase that, say that the loneliest holiday is Halloween, and 57% says it's worse than Valentine's Day.
What?
Yeah, because they say that Halloween is about, it's built around groups, like trick-or-treating with kids or going to parties or couples' costumes or families hanging out together. And if you don't have those things available, it's a bummer.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I mean, now that when you lay it out like that,
I know.
It does seem upsetting.
Listen to this. 80% admit to feeling lonely on October 31st, and more than half of them say they've cried after opening the door to trick-or-treaters. Why?
What?
What? No!
Wait, so when you close the door or while you're still...
You hand them the Snickers bar, then you close the door, then you slowly slide down the door and cry.
Oh, my God.
It's awful.
That's quite a visual.
Yes.
And then you just bury yourself in the chocolate.
I'm trying to figure
out. Now I'm going to be upset on Halloween.
You know, I
didn't even think of this before.
Right. And let's be honest. Loneliness across this country has become an epidemic. Like,
well,
people feel very lonely.
I think that the more that people get into their devices and so forth, the less they connect with actual real people.
It's true.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure out ways that not be lonely on Halloween. Mm. And if you have an idea, please call us at 1-800-330-9999. I am. went to my best friend, ChatGPT.
Yeah.
I know Raven doesn't like when I say that,
but I just
don't
like it when you say, you can go to your friend, ChatGPT. You just don't have to tell people every time.
Why? Why? This is where I got this information. So I was looking for ideas because I didn't have any. I didn't have any ideas of what to do. If like, you don't have anyone to hang out with, like, what do you do?
Yeah.
And it had some good ideas and it had some terrible ideas.
Okay.
One of the good ideas, join a virtual Halloween event or a Twitch stream because a lot of creators host Halloween watch parties. I could see that. That's fun. That's kind of like speed dating, but you don't have to talk to anybody. You just feel like you're part of the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's giving me pandemic flashbacks, but okay. Right.
One of the not great ideas, host a one-person costume contest online.
Oh, no. That sounds very sad.
But why did it tell me, like, for real? Like, it really suggested that. Like, that was a good idea. Like, just post a picture of yourself by yourself and then say, vote for me for my Halloween costume. Why would everybody
would then know you were lonely, too? Maybe that helps. Maybe that doesn't.
Yeah, a good idea. Have a solo scary movie marathon. Yes.
Yes, that I like.
Right.
And that'd be terrifying by yourself.
Of course. Yeah. Right. Watch Hocus Pocus. You could even watch like the not so scary ones like Ghostbusters. And, you know, you could choose your level of scariness because it's just you. You don't have to consult with anybody.
You could do that. Yeah.
One that I didn't think was so great was carve a pumpkin. I mean, I guess if you're, I don't know. It just seems like one of those things that it's for like a party. Groupish. It's a groupish.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of pumpkin seeds to eat by yourself after. Mm-hmm. And then what if you cut yourself? Like, that's always a danger.
All right. 1-800-330-9999. Besides these ChatGPT suggestions, what do you think you can do to not be so lonely on Halloween? Halloween is the most lonely holiday of the year, according to singles in a new poll they took.
That is sad.
It's surprising because you would think that Halloween is like a party holiday. It's not, you know, but if you're single and it really comes down to being around kids and being with your friends, and if you don't have anyone to share it with, yeah, it makes a whole lot of sense.
It's you, a bowl of chocolate, and a whole bunch of sad tears.
All right. So what do you do? What do you do if you're lonely on Halloween? We're looking for ideas. 1-800-330-9999. Gary.
See, this is where you got to be really, really off a little bit, right? You dress up as a yard decoration. So when the kids come by, you can actually scare them and see how many pieces of candy you can get to fall out of their bucket.
Oh,
that sounds like personal rewards and not a real way to make friends or meet people. But I respect your dark, scary nature.
That's not how you make friends, though.
No. That's what I said. Right.
But you're not lonely.
Yes.
You're just together with your dark thoughts, I guess. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Bonnie, what's something you can do to combat a lonely Halloween?
How about get involved in so many schools do trunk or treats?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. And you don't have any children, though.
No, I mean, people aren't asking if you have kids. They just want somebody to give out candy.
It's true. It's nice sometimes to still do something festive. Decorate your car. You get to be part of it. You get to meet people. It gets yourself out there. And you're doing something good. You're handing out candy to the trunk or treat kids. Yeah, thanks, Bonnie.
Right. Because most kids don't go out for Halloween anymore anyway, which is sad. Or a lot of restaurants and bars have Halloween parties. Get dressed up and go out by yourself.
You can go to a bar. That's for sure. Especially this year on a Friday.
Big Halloween night.
Daria, how do you make Halloween more interactive and not so lonely?
So I recommend having like little appetizer cups filled with hummus and carrots and celery so that you have a treat to give the moms when the kids are trick-or-treating at your house.
Why? What are they going to do with that?
So they'll be like, oh my gosh, you have a snack for me. And then you can talk to them and be friends with all the women in your neighborhood.
Oh, well, we kind of do the same things at my house, except it's wine and shots.
Right.
Yeah, it's not wheatgrass either, these shots.
If I went to a door and somebody had like Hershey bars for the kids, and then they were like, but I do have this carrot for you. I'd be like,
hummus with veggies.
I hear you.
Crappy hummus, homemade hummus.
Good stuff. Yeah. Matt, what can you do to make Halloween not so lonely?
I mean, granted, I grew up in the country, but I always liked having a big bonfire out in the yard with, s'mores and the usual campfire stuff, maybe a couple beers.
But is that sad if you're by yourself at a s'mores bonfire?
I mean, it's still s'mores. They still taste good.
Not if I'm inviting the neighborhood people over. They're just coming over. They're lonely themselves. They just want to come be warm around a fire and hang out.
So your answer is have a s'mores party by a bonfire and invite everybody in your neighborhood.
Let's see who shows up.
I like it.
Right. Yeah. Light something on fire. Typically, it will draw attention. Well, I'll also say that there's some logic in that.
And there's fire trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll get the officials to show up. I always find that when you're lonely, you feel very uncomfortable putting yourself out there because you're setting yourself up for more rejection, which is already difficult.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think that's human nature, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to feel like they're left out or they're losing. And so when you try a few times, you just say, you know, it's too painful. I'm not going to go back that way, right? Mm-hmm. This feeling of despair is better than the feeling of being humiliated.
Oh, gosh. Got real serious.
Listen, if you're lonely, you can come to my house. It's fine on Halloween. We don't get enough visitors anyways. It's totally fine. It's also so sad to think of, like, the lonely Jason Voorhees or Michael Myers or Freddy Krueger.
He's probably just a guy having a bonfire with s'mores, invited a bunch of people and got real upset about it when nobody showed up.
Is he crying behind that mask?
The scene where Violet in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is turned into a blueberry.
Oh, yeah, that's scary.
Is one of those scenes that is widely considered that will scar children and makes them scared for life.
Yeah.
So when my daughter, who's in second grade, she's six turning seven, I had to do it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know, do it. Right. Oh,
yeah,
six, seven.
When she asked this weekend to watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory for the first time, I grabbed my phone during that scene because I wanted to get her reaction.
Oh, boy.
Is that scary, D?
No. It looks a little creepy and cool.
She says, no, it looks a little creepy, but also very cool. That's what she says.
Okay.
Dakota's tough. Like, she's a tough kid. Yeah. I didn't think that it would scare her. It takes a lot to kind of really spook her.
Maybe I'm crazy, but there are a lot more characters that are different colors now, too. So when you see the skin change color, maybe it's not as creepy, right? There's a lot of big green characters and whatnot in huge movies.
So I posted
it freaked me out.
I posted the video on our Instagram at Anna and Raven, and you can go watch it yourself. And we want to know, like, what was the scene or the movie when you were a kid that freaked you out for life? For me, it was definitely this, and I talk about it all the time.
One good tree climbing Thomas J. His face hurts. And where is his glasses?
He can't see
without his glasses.
My girl. That funeral scene when Macaulay Culkin, after he got stung by all the bees and he dies, as a child,
spoiler alert,
I am still afraid of bees to this day because of that movie. When she said that Violet didn't scare her, Dakota, I wanted to be like, you know what? We're going to watch My Girl next.
Yep.
We're going to see how you feel about that.
And Poltergeist, when the cameraman's face melts in the broom closet, I'm still afraid of broom closets and my face melting.
Oh.
Yeah.
1-800-330-9999. Adam, you have a movie that scarred you as a child?
Stephen King's It, the original one.
You want a balloon, Ben? They all float.
I remember seeing, it was just the scene where the kid was in the shower. Mm-hmm. And that was all it took for me to have a years-long fear of clowns and indoor plumbing.
Yeah, the TV one with John Ritter and Tim Curry. It was definitely scary.
Tim Curry, yeah, that's the one.
But to me, the new ones are far and away scarier than that first one ever was.
Well, how old were you when you're watching it from like a child's point of view? That messes with you.
I remember when that was on television. That was such a big deal. What? How old were you?
I was six.
Oh, well, I mean, where are your parents? Mm-hmm. Oh my God!
They were watching the movie. I just happened to wander into the room at the wrong time.
Yeah, Dakota we all does float that down here.
Yeah, she'll wander in and she'll like just be in the corner and she'll just be real quiet watching because she knows she's not supposed to watch it. Yeah, kids, they watch things they're not supposed to all the time.
Sure. Well, they're curious, right?
Yep.
Until it sticks with them.
Rebecca, what was the movie that you saw as a kid and it stuck with you?
I think the title was like Arachnophobia or something, it was these like giant spiders attacking people. And I was like 8 or 9, because, you know, my parents were very adamant about me not watching scary movies. And one of my cousins, like, played it for me, and that, like, literally scarred me for life. I'm so scared of the tiniest spider nowadays.
There's a rumor going around that some kind of spider might have killed Sam Metcalf.
There may be some spiders around here that are very dangerous.
Arachnophobia, good jump scares, as you would imagine. John Goodman, Jeff Daniels. Yeah, that's a long time ago. It was fun.
What was the scene that you saw as a child in a movie that scared you? It scarred you for life. 1-800-330-9999. The scene from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory where Violet turns into a blueberry is considered one of the scenes from your childhood that will scar you for life.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them in that movie, actually. Remember when they get stuck in the chocolate tube by the river, too?
Yes.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that freaks me out in that one.
A lot of people said that on our social media at Anna and Raven. It didn't even faze my six-year-old daughter. She didn't even blink an eye. But what was the movie or the scene you saw that scarred you for life? It scared you when you were a kid.
I'll tell you what. The scariest book I ever read was Pet Cemetery from Stephen King. And the movies, there's been a couple remakes. They're not good. They were never great. But the first one, there's this scene with the sister with this spinal condition, and it freaks me out still.
Finally came back for you, Rachel. I'm going to twist your back like mine.
Yeah, I can still see that. It freaks me out.
1-800-330-9999. Movie that scared you as a kid. Darren.
First movie scared me when I was a kid was Gremlins.
Yeah. What in particular, do you remember which scene?
Yes, when they got wet the first time and they started to multiply.
Yes, and they were popping out.
You know, there's some things I forgot to tell you guys, and they're really important. Number one, he hates bright lights. We know that. Number two, keep him away from water. Don't give him any water to drink. And whatever you do, don't give him a bath.
Yes. I don't know why, but that just scared the dog mess out of me.
Something like rippling under the skin, under the fur. Yeah, it was gross. No, I get it. And stuff was just coming out. And then they were kind of like slimy as they would unfold. Yep. Hey, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, tell us a scary movie that terrified you as a child, stuck with you all these years.
Oh, my gosh. The Exorcist, the scene where she's coming down the stairs backwards.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. That's.
Yeah.
That anything that involved being backwards is always going to trigger something when you're a kid because it's out of the norm.
It's true, right? And that stop motion photograph, that freaks me out now. Once the body starts contorting, oh, yeah, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrea, a scary movie that you saw as a kid that stuck with you all these years.
Cujo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When he's up on top of the hood.
Yes, I can't watch it now. Like, the thought of it is just freaking out. I'm sure it'd be different now, but every time I think about it, it's me.
Yeah, dogs are, you know, anything with a wild beast, it scares you, right? And then, you know, with a dog, it's a premise that could happen, so it's scary.
Hey, Erica, what was the movie that scared you? That scene as a child, you'll never forget it.
Okay, it was Princess Bride with the giant rat. I refused to watch it. I walked in on my sister watching it. Yeah. I was 15 years old when I found out it was a comedy.
Yeah, giant rat, you know? I mean, it's scary.
Wesley, what about the RUSs?
Rodents of unusual size? I don't think they exist.
Right.
The Princess Bride?
Yeah.
Oh, my. I don't even remember.
She doesn't. Anna doesn't even remember. It didn't even phase her.
No.
See, she was just like, oh, what's with this funny mouse? Let's go to Chuck E. Cheese. You just weren't able to sleep for a month.
Yeah. It's funny how things hit kids differently.
Yeah. Right.
Didn't even register with you. Amazing.
1-800-330-9999. Movie that scarred you as a child.
Is that scary, D?
No.
A little bit creepy and cool. Dakota, my little one, she watched Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory first time this past weekend. She asked to see it. And the scene where Violet turns into a blueberry is considered widely one of the most scariest scenes in history for children. When they see her turn into a blueberry, it scars them for life.
You know what I almost forgot, too, is the flying monkeys in Wizard of Oz. That's a scary one, too. But Willy Wonka give you, like, three of those. Like,
yes.
They're floating up near the fan and everything and stuck in the tube. Those are all terrifying.
So what's the movie scene that you saw as a child that it scarred you? It's with you forever. I'm looking at our Instagram at Anna and Raven. Jurassic Park did it for me. I think for the younger generation,
the first one.
Definitely. I think that Jurassic Park is when you saw those dinosaurs, it's scary.
Yeah, well, when you saw, like, you know, a piece of clothing hang out of its mouth, yeah, that was scary.
Right. Oh. What was the movie, the scene that did it for you? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Hannah and Raven.
Well, the other girl already said Exorcist, but then there was another one, Leprechaun.
Oh, Leprechaun. Oh,
everyone always says
My
Leprechaun.
Pot of gold.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah! Is that me gold?
What the hell are you?
I'm a leprechaun, me dear.
He's freaky looking.
And with the thing, do you know Jennifer Aniston was in that movie?
That was her big first movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've never watched it.
No, really?
Course.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No, yep. It's Jennifer Aniston. Yeah. There's always, in those terrible movies, that's where a lot of huge actors got their break, like Kevin Bacon in Friday the 13th and Johnny Depp in Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah, it's a cool thing.
Yeah, thanks, Denise.
Jen, what movie scared you as a kid, stuck with you all these years, it still freaks you out?
Oh, my God. Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Something Wicked This Way Comes.
I don't even... Is that a comedy? What is that?
Remember.
Is that a comedy horror movie?
No, it is terrifying. I had to leave a sleepover because it was so bad.
Oh, you know, that's always embarrassing when you have to leave the sleepover.
I made them call my mom and send me home. I couldn't do it. There's a scene where they send tarantulas after the children. The scene at the end where the lightning hits the merry-go-round and kills the bad guy. Oh, my God. No.
That is scary when you can control spiders. That would be scary. Right?
And also, it's a good lesson for everybody. If you're having a sleepover at your house, don't show scary movies to the kids.
Oh, no, you have to.
No.
You have to.
No.
Thanks for the call. Mike, a scary movie that you saw as a kid scarred you for life.
Jaws.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jaws, you know.
That's
a 20-footer. 25. 3 tons of them.
It changed everybody for their entire life.
Everybody is afraid of sharks because of that movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, except for like the people that really like them.
Yeah. But they probably got curious about sharks because of Jaws.
And you can't see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
100%. You're afraid there's a shark coming.
Of course.
Yep.
Of course. Right. What else would I be afraid of? Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this is a good weekend to go watch all these scary movies again, right? Show your kids. See what'll scare them.
When it's really, really, really scary, you can be brave by watching it during the day.
Yes, absolutely.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale and get 40% off paints and stains now through the 27th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sophie and Ricky. Sophie, what's going on?
So my husband works in medical sales. Lately, he's been taking more of his clients out to dinner, and it's making me uncomfortable because most of these clients are female, and I don't know. There's just something shady about that.
I'm sorry. What did you say he works in?
He works in medical sales.
All right. So he works in medical sales, and he's going out with women at night. Ricky, who are these women?
I mean, they're just the PAs and the doctors that I'm working with, right? Like, I've been working with the same group of people, if you say. It's just now the industry is being led by more women, right? So it's just that now my clientele base is more so women than there are men. And I think that's just, I mean, it's normal. It's nothing that I can control personally, right?
Well, you sell things to who are buying them, right?
Like,
it's kind of the nature of all sales, though, I guess, you know. Medical field, I mean, this is like hospital supplies, or it's like med spa, or what is this like?
Yeah, I mean, it's med spa, plastics, right? It is still considered medical supplies, right? So there's no complaining when the check clears. It's just that now that I have to entertain a certain group, it seems like to be a problem.
I know. Sophie, I know exactly the problem. When's the last time you walked into a med spa, Raven?
It's been a long time, but I mean...
They're listen, beautiful.
We were just at an event, you know, what, a week or two ago, and there was a med spa there with us, and these girls were like celebrities.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
and there's most
plenty
of them are.
Upkeep going on, obviously,
yes.
Right? They have access to all those different things, and everybody around them is curious about those things, too. So it's like, they're like a shining light.
Well, I could understand if Sophie gets wind and all of a sudden it's your husband sitting at a table of five nurses and doctors that are all flawless. Mm-hmm. Can we call it what it is, Sophie? It's a little bit of jealousy. But do you think that it's not that, and it's more that Ricky is using this as an excuse to go have dinner with beautiful women whenever he feels like it on the company dollar?
Yeah, I mean, because he's going out at least once a week. It just seems really excessive.
Once a week?
Money to make, though.
Was it before that he was going out with dinners once a week with men?
No, I mean, and I feel like it's a little bit different. Like he would just get drinks, but like he's literally going to all these cool restaurants with groups of women.
The money's great, right? The industry is changing. I'm just trying to adapt and make sure that I'm staying at the top of the game. I'm one of the top salesmen in my company. I'm providing for my family, and it's not anything outside of that.
It's never a good feeling when you think you're doing well at your job and you're not doing anything else inappropriate and the other person doesn't trust you. On the other hand, it's really painful to be sitting at home and just imagining that your partner's out with everybody else that's good looking.
Having fun.
Yes.
Eating dinner at cool places.
Yeah,
what do you think? Do you think Sophie's overreacting or is Ricky a liar? 1-800-330-9999.
These people got to buy something somewhere.
Is Ricky just doing his job or is he a filthy liar? I mean, that was taking it a little bit far.
Listen, it's a terrible effort when you work all day long and then you have to go do a thing that night too. And you've put in you've been on the face, you've been shook on the hands and kissed the babies and all that all day. And you get home and your partner is disappointed.
Well, Ricky's a sales guy. He sells medical equipment and stuff. And
right.
And his wife, Sophie, is upset that he's made it a habit that once a week he takes the doctors and nurses out to dinner. Now, here's the problem. What she's realized is that what used to be a male-dominated industry is, plastics, is now he's just taking women out.
Yeah.
And he's like, all he's doing is taking beautiful women from these med spas that he caters to really fancy, expensive restaurants.
Well, he can't control who the clientele is, right? And he can't control how they look. All right, he's just out there doing his job, and he is one of the top salesmen in his field. So,
would that bother you? If you were the wife, would that bother you? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. And Marie, whose side are you on?
All right, well, I'm on his side. I'm a nurse, and I've been to many of these dinners. And quite honestly, if he doesn't bring these people to a nice restaurant, they're not going to show up.
Right.
And then he's not going to sell anything. In all my years of going to these dinners, I have never had anyone be unprofessional.
I have walked in on one of these doctors' schmooze lunches dinners before, and the spread was impressive.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie.
What do you order? Do you get an appetizer and dessert, or do you just stick to the main course?
Price fix.
They give you a choice of everything. Mm-hmm. Appetizer, dinner, and dessert, and drinks.
That's so good.
Yeah, I'm going to take it.
The nice is a place that people will show up.
Just everybody wants a free meal. That's what it comes down to.
I mean, I'd be foolish not to take it.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. It's hard. It's a hard position to be in. It's one that I've been in many times. So Ricky works in medical sales and his wife, Sophie, has realized that now once a week he's taking out clients, doctors, nurses, PAs, but they all tend to be female because he works primarily in the med spa industry.
Yeah. Well, Ricky says, listen, this is the job and the industry has just changed. A couple of years ago when I was taking out men and the doctors were leading the offices and they were guys, my wife had no problem with it. Now she's bothered by it. I can understand her position, but I'm just doing my job.
It's true, though. My husband has a corporate job where he takes out his staff a lot and they go to these nice steakhouses and they have these nice drinks. And I think to myself, I'll just stay home with the kids. Don't worry, babe.
I know.
And then you have to come home and you'd be like, oh, I had such a long day. Yeah. And Joe, hope you enjoy that cream spinach. It looked delicious.
It's not easy.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think that once a week with all females is basically him lying or is he just doing his job? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Susan.
Well, I think I'm on his side because I think she might be jealous.
Yeah.
I'm a nurse, too, a dental nurse, and the representatives take us out to eat. Some are women who come and take us out to restaurants, and some are men.
Yeah.
And I think that's his job. That's what he's got to do.
Yeah, it's part of the gig, right?
I think she might be a little jealous. My daughter and my son-in-law,
he has to go out and take people out, and she's jealous because she's like, oh, he's getting all this great food, lobster, crab, and and so I, you know, so I'm with him.
Yeah, a lot of times you'd rather go
I understand.
Home, though, you know, get told. I get it.
Right? Yeah.
Jimmy, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I have a question. Has he ever invited his wife to these things?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think you can invite your wife to that type of stuff.
We're
not
allowed to, like, when we go out to
dinner. Yeah, right. So.
And I've never been invited to Paul's dinner.
That's true, right? So.
Well, if he's paying for it, I think he can probably invite his wife. I mean, he's not a low-level worker or anything. And if he has not or even suggested that she go, I'm on her side.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Ricky, our audience understands and agrees with you. And Sophie, there's certainly an element of, man, that stinks to have to go through that. But you have to realize it's his job and it's how he makes his money. And if going out to these dinners once a week, people didn't think was that much.
Yeah. And it stinks for him, too. When he's just going out doing his job, you know, trying to land these accounts, trying to keep these accounts. And then he comes home and, you know, you're upset and, you know, you guys have to argue or whatever, bicker about these things. Like, that's not fun for anybody. So, you know, you're in it together. This is what you do for your success as a household, as a family.
Yeah, I just think the audience doesn't know what's up, but I'll try to be more open-minded.
Well, Ricky, land those sales, get the big trip, whatever it takes, right? Be number
Staying
one.
At the top.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Good luck, guys.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,800. Janine, you ready to play today?
Hi, yes, I am.
All right, let's do this. You feeling confident?
I think so. I'm nervous, but yes.
All right. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck. $1,800. Here we go.
All right, Janine. Remember, if you're not sure, just guess. Guess and beat that clock, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Ready?
I'm ready.
Number one. Mariska Hargitay says a psychic predicted her Law & Order career. Taylor Swift named her cat after her character. What's its name?
Misha.
Number two, Jennifer Aniston says she asked for a new washer and dryer as an actor treat after Friends became successful. She got it. What appliance company has the slogan, "We bring good things to life and imagination at work"?
LG.
Number three, Jason Bateman says dogs should have to wear shoes because they're on the sidewalk. He's currently on Netflix in a show called Black Rabbit. What color is the rabbit in Alice in Wonderland that brings her down the rabbit hole?
White.
Number four, Crayola found that people's favorite color crayon is cerulean blue. In what movie does the main character get lectured about her cerulean blue sweater?
I don't know.
Number five, Misty Copeland is preparing to retire after 25 years and has made history. What does she do?
Author?
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
I don't know.
Janine got one right.
Oh, not great. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Mariska Hargitay says a psychic predicted her Law & Order career. Taylor Swift named her cat after her character. What's its name?
It's Olivia Benson, right? Detective Olivia Benson?
Yes. I had a psychic tell me a long time ago that one day I was going to have my own show. Way before I ever did this show. Mm-hmm. Anything.
TV show? Radio show?
Radio
cat show.
She said a radio show.
Is that right?
Yep. Many, many, many years ago.
Did you tell her you were in radio?
No. And here's what I wonder. Did I will it to happen because the psychic told me?
Mm-hmm.
Or did she really predict the future?
Who knows?
Yeah. Number two, Jennifer Aniston. She says she asked for a new washer or dryer as an actor treat after Friends became successful. So I didn't know this, but I guess if you're kind of an unknown and then your show becomes a real big hit,
Okay. Your
contract isn't great at the beginning. So you can ask for treats and they'll buy you cars and things like that.
All right.
So they said, okay, what do you want? And she asked for the washer and dryer, and that's what they gave her. What appliance company has the slogan, "We bring good things to life and imagination at work"?
Imagination. We bring good things to life. Is that LG?
No, GE.
Mm.
Number three, Jason Bateman says dogs should have to wear shoes because they're on the sidewalk, too. He's currently on Netflix in a show called Black Rabbit. What color is the rabbit in Alice in Wonderland that brings her down the rabbit hole?
White rabbit. Yeah, and I heard that show is fantastic.
Yep. Number four, Crayola found that people's favorite color crayon is cerulean blue. In what movie does the main character get lectured about her cerulean blue sweater?
Inside Out?
The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, but no idea. Sorry.
Number five. Please get this one right, otherwise I'm going to be upset.
These are tough.
Misty Copeland is preparing to retire after 25 years and has made history. What does she do?
Oh, gosh. She's a television anchor, right?
No.
What?
She's a ballerina, and she was the first black female principal at the American Ballet Theater.
Well, I'm sorry, Misty. Okay.
All right. All right, Janine.
I mean, you're talking to me about ballet.
Yeah. 2-1 today. That's going to get you an Anne on Raven t-shirt.
Those were hard.
All right, great. Thank you so much. I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,900 tomorrow, Anna.